You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, my name is Vaughn Armstrong. I've played more characters in the Star Trek universe than anybody, and I was Admiral Forrest. You are listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
The journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
My name is Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as always, is
Tristan Riddell.
Tristan, did you just hear the latest breaking news?
The super important latest breaking Star Trek news. And you know what? In any kind of news that we can get with Star Trek, I feel is good news. I do. Like, I think the only way that it would be conceived as bad news is if Star Trek Discovery canceled. I think.
Yes. Yes, that would be pretty brutal. And we are so hungry for any little tidbit they're going to give us. It does feel like, ooh, late breaking sexy action news. Oh, my God. Even though it's really not.
At the time of this recording, this news broke just moments ago. We're not kidding. Just moments ago.
Yeah, minutes.
And that is, there is a new Discovery launch date. And so instead of January of 2017, we have to wait until May of 2017. And here is the official post on StarTrek.com. Bringing Star Trek back to television carries a responsibility and mission to connect fans and newcomers alike to the series that has fed our imagination since childhood. This is from Alex Kurtzman and Brian Fuller in a joint statement. We aim to dream big and deliver, and that means making sure the demands of physical and post-production for a show that takes place entirely in space and the need to meet an air date don't result in compromised quality. Before heading into production, we evaluated these realities with our partners at CBS, and they agreed. Star Trek deserves the very best, and these extra few months will help us achieve a vision we can all be proud of.
Now, I have not quite hit the collective disappointment that is naturally going to hit the internet. Thank God. And I'm going to ignore that the very best that I can because, guys, ultimately waiting a few months for a better quality product in the long run is a very good thing. They obviously care very much about this show. They want to do right by it. They want to make sure it's the best thing they can possibly put out. If they need a little more time to do that, let them. I'm so glad that they have the time to do that, because the studio could have come back and said, nope, we said January, we're going to do it, you better find a way. They didn't. This is a good thing, guys.
It is almost always a good thing when you hear this happening, and because if the executive producers don't think there's enough time, and the studio doesn't think there's enough time, what's the point? Just because they said in an advertisement a couple of months ago that they're going to do it in January? I mean...
yeah.
Like, what's the big deal? So, like, of course, already there has been negativity online. I mean, the moment that it reached out, there's been negativity online. So we here at To The Journey say, calm down.
Yeah, please take a deep breath.
But yeah, I think this is a good thing. I trust Brian Fuller completely. Absolutely trust him to do what is best for Star Trek. And CBS wants a good product. So, and hopefully that's what they're going to get. And it's not that big of a deal. And besides, with a May release, you could watch it over the summer, and that's fun. You know, I like summer releases. I love releases that are separate from all the hullabaloo of a January mid-season release or a September fall release. I think this is a good decision.
Yeah, totally. I'm with you on that, because everything else that's going to wrap up on a more conventional airing schedule, we're going to need something to fill that void, and Star Trek Discovery is going to be right there ready to go. So if it was a calculated move, it's a very good one.
Absolutely.
And if not, still, good timing.
All right, well, we're not here to talk about Star Trek Discovery, are we?
No, this is a Voyager podcast, believe it or not, and we should start the show. Now, you had an interesting idea. As we do before just about every podcast, we talk about what we're going to do for the week, and we do a lot of iMessage conversations of, yes, we like that idea. No, I don't like this idea. That's good, but I have something better, yada, yada, yada. You won this week with the idea of, if we created a character on Voyager that was not a Seven of Nine replacement, because we did that before, who would it be? What would they be doing? when would they come into the series? We're going to flesh out all of that. And, you know, I find this an interesting kind of a related offshoot to the whole replacing Seven of Nine thing, because the first thing I thought of when you brought that up was, wait, yeah, didn't we already do that, number one? But then also, with Seven of Nine, I've got to think of different timing elements to make this work, which brought up a whole myriad of ideas. But I am very excited to know what you came up with. And so this week, I'm going to make you go first, because you usually make me go first. Too bad. This time it's on you. Go.
Well, I remember that episode well, because we even cast the role with a specific actress.
We did, Charlize Theron.
That's right. That was the name of the episode. And so if you guys don't know what we're talking about and you want to hear that episode, it is called Charlize Theron. It was not that long ago. And you are indeed correct. It was the actress Charlize Theron that would be the Seven of Nine replacement. Not so much replacement as in substitute, where what if Jerry Ryan wasn't available and they had massive amounts of cash where they could get Charlize Theron? She wasn't playing Seven of Nine. She was playing her own character. And anyway, you can go back and listen to that if you want to hear more about it. So this is all about, like you said, this is Seven of Nine is still on the show. But yet, for some reason, the studio's like, we need more characters. We need more actors and actresses. So do it.
We have a budget we just can't wait to burn through. Let's pay more people.
Now, obviously, this would never happen. This would not happen.
No. Because, this is the antithesis of how studios work, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is very much just a what if so we can start talking. This is not based anywhere in reality. But we love our what ifs on To the Journey.
We love our what ifs. Absolutely. And you know what? Honestly, reality a lot of times is just a complete downer. So it's fun to play in fantasy every week.
So with Seven of Nine still on the show, Cass is gone, and we got your usual suspects. We got Janeway, Chakotay, Tuvok, Paris, B'Elanna, Kim. Did I already say Tuvok?
No.
Tuvok then. And
Tuvok.
Neelix, Seven of Nine. So all those characters, and so Seven of Nine, Janeway, and the Doctor will have to share some of the limelight in the later seasons. And so that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking this new character, obviously this new character can't come on in season 4. Season 5 would be weird. And so I'm thinking they come on in season 6.
Okay, a lot later then. Okay.
Yeah, a lot later, where it's season 6, so they have 2 seasons to play with his character instead of 1, like with Ezri Dax, where everything is insanely rushed and horrible. And yeah, so I'm thinking that's the time frame for my character. And you don't want a brute... let me rephrase that. You don't want a blunt instrument like Seven of Nine with that kind of personality. I feel like you would need somebody with a big personality. Like someone that has a big personality like Neelix, where they wouldn't be in your face like Neelix, and they hopefully wouldn't get on your nerves like some people feel about Neelix. But think about all the subdued personalities we have in Voyager. Now, some people would call it wooden. I say subdued. You got Chakotay. even sometimes you have Janeway with a little subdued personality, even though it's a strong personality. You have Tuvok, obviously, Kim.
Yes.
And yep. I think the only ones that are kind of big and charismatic and would be Paris, B'Elanna, Neelix, and yeah. I guess I think I mislabeled Janeway. I would put Janeway in the charismatic area.
Yes, and I would actually take Tom down a little bit. He would be a little more of a subdued character, because a lot of times he gets kind of shut out from the big three, if you will. He's not on that rung at all, in my opinion. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Tom Paris, but he strikes me as a little more low-key.
I think I'd have to disagree with you on that one. I think like he's the jokester. He's the rogue. You know, he's the one who will create Fairhaven. He's the one who will, you know, who will fly through asteroids at breakneck speeds just to see if he can do it.
But does that make him a big personality? That just means he's a little more bold and happy-go-lucky and daring on occasion.
I think you just described a big personality.
See, that's not how I think of a big personality necessarily. I mean, we're going to have to agree to disagree here. That's fine. Okay. We're not even talking about Tom Paris, so please continue and talk about your character.
I'm talking this character out. I don't even know who I'm talking about yet. So I think for some reason I keep going towards the medicine area. Like we need someone who is an assistant physician or another physician or a nurse or some, like, basically someone who can take the role that Kes had.
Right.
That, you know, like Seven of Nine replaced in the roster, but not in the role.
Right. And honestly, I'm sorry, Tommy as the field medic never completely worked for me.
No, it was grasping at straws.
You took 2 semesters of biology. Get in there. You got this.
Yeah. It was very much the writers and producers going, okay, what do we do now? Well, this doesn't work, this doesn't work, this doesn't work. Well, this one doesn't work the least, so let's do that one.
Pretty much that, yes.
And so that's where I'm going. Now, male or female?
That's a big question, right?
No clue, because they brought on Seven of Nine, it would feel... like, you know, it would get so much criticism where they're like, oh my gosh, we're getting another female character. Are they trying to boost the ratings in another fashion? Are they trying to talk about, are all they going to talk about is women empowerment? Now, I'm not saying that is what happens when you have more female characters. I'm just saying that's the ultimate sexist argument that you're going to have because you just brought on Seven of Nine just a couple of seasons ago. But for some reason, my mind keeps going towards a female persona to play opposite Doc, so maybe we could get some different dynamics in sickbay instead of Doc just trying to bring about Seven's humanity, you know, because mm-hmm. I feel like everyone's dealing with Seven's humanity. And so,
right, we are, whether we like it or not, yes.
Even though we can continue to do that, and we can have the same storylines with the Doc and Seven, we just tone those down a little bit, make them fewer than what we have now. And so I say we bring on an alien female character, and because that's the thing, though, is that, like, I'm basically just creating Kes, because I was just about to say a love interest for Neelix.
Oh, boy. Yeah, this is the Kes clone.
Yeah, this is bad.
Kes number 2? Gross.
Yeah, this is bad.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Kes, but I don't want another Kes. I mean,
no.
She's irreplaceable, if you ask me.
Absolutely. We need to move forward. We need to do something different. Okay, well, then, yes. In that case, then, if I want to do something medicine-wise, and I want sickbay to be their home with the Doc, then I think let's go male, then. Let's go male alien. And I think that's good enough reason to do that. And so we go male alien, whether they're a nurse or assistant physician. I don't know. Let's say nurse.
Okay.
Where they can assist, but there's no danger of the Doc losing his position. You know, like, there's no danger of Doc's ego getting in the way. That kind of thing. So male crew member, alien, nurse. Interesting characteristics. I'm trying to think of backstory. Like, what would be an interesting backstory? I feel like they would have to have no ties. Like, they would have to have no ties to, like, they can't have, like, a wife and kids back home, like Phlox.
Yep, no, been there, done that.
Because there has to be a storyline that brings him along for their journey. You know, it's like, I want to be involved. I want to go to the Alpha Quadrant. That sounds awesome. Let's do this. You know, like, I want to see that character do that. And so maybe they're a refugee, or, you know, maybe they're trying to escape something. Maybe they're a telepath, and maybe we could get then that's just Kes territory. Dang it!
You just really want Kes back, don't you?
I guess I do. I didn't think I would miss Kes this much.
Your subconscious is just crying out for Kes. Kes, come back! Please!
So not a telepath. Jeez.
I don't mean to laugh. I mean, I'm laughing with you, not at you.
No, I understand. No, it's funny. It's hysterical because Kes, I guess, filled a void that was just a natural writer's device.
Yeah.
We're like, we need somebody to play off of the Doc. We need somebody, a love interest for Neelix. And wouldn't it be cool if we had another telepath on and someone who's really interested in going to the Alpha Quadrant? She checked all of those boxes.
Yes, exactly. She was a lot more useful than people gave her credit.
She really was, and I feel like in the short amount of time that she was on, they definitely could have done more with Kes. But this is is not supposed to be an episode about Kes.
No, but it's absolutely true. It's a real shame that they thought that things kind of ran their course with her and she got picked to exit.
Yeah, so I feel like, okay, male medic, not a telepath, totally on board with going to the Alpha Quadrant, wants to go to the Alpha Quadrant, wants to go on their journey with them. And he's in it for the long haul. And I'm thinking I think that could be a recurring theme. I'm going to steal something a little bit from Firefly. Where okay. for that first season, the baddies are after this character. The alien bad guys of the season. Whatever those aliens would be. They don't even have to be the main aliens, but they're recurring. And they're constantly trying to track this guy down. Where maybe something, what he did was he helped Voyager at the beginning of season 6, where he got them out of a jam. Like they were in danger with this alien race, like dead to rights in a transporter beam. Like there was no hope. And then all of a sudden they get a call and they're like, okay, like I'm so-and-so and I will disable this tractor beam if you take me with you. and they're like, we're not just gonna take some random guy on our ship. And he's like, are you sure? Because you look like you're caught in this dude's tractor beam and I can totally get you out, but I need your word as a Starfleet captain that you're gonna take me on, like you're gonna take me aboard. And they all just kind of look at each other and Tuvok's like, yeah, captain, we don't have another choice. And so then they're like, okay, fine. You have my word as the Starfleet captain. He's like, cool. And then boom, the transporter, the tractor beam is taken offline in a blaze of glory. It explodes. And he's like, okay, I'm going to get their shields in a second. And then they keep getting bombarded by torpedoes. And they're like, any moment now. He's like, just hold on. And he's like frantically, he's a little eccentric. And then he's like, okay, shields are down. And then they beam him aboard. And then they hightail it out of there at high warp. And then the first episode is all about, like, what the hell was that? And he's like, well, you just encountered the... And I was a
the what?
Well, you heard me. It's a very common alien name. And he said, he's like, okay, I was a prisoner of theirs. I managed to get out, and this just, like, I got super lucky because they were attacking you, and, like, if you waited any longer to agree to my terms, you would have been a prisoner just like me. And he's like, that's what they do. They deal in alien trafficking or something like that.
Okay.
So they're kind of like the Vidians, but yet it's not the Phage where they're trying to get organs. They're trying to get... You know, like, I don't know, they're trying to get slaves or something like that. They're slavers.
Sort of in between the Vidians looking for people, but also the race that kidnapped and brainwashed the crew and workforce to get right. some bodies to do some work. Sort of yes. in between those two ideas there.
Very much a blend of the two. Very spot on. And so this whole episode is like... Janeway goes, okay, well, we got you out. We can leave you at the nearest starbase or, you know, like the nearest habitable planet. You know, like we'll give you some supplies. And he's like, no, where are you going? And they're like, we're not going anywhere near where you would want to go. We're going to the Alpha Quadrant. He's like, Alpha Quadrant, how far is that? They're like, it's kind of far, dude. Like, we're not a passenger ship.
I want to hear Tuvok say that. Or Chakotay.
And then Neelix chimes in and says, that was the same thing that you told me. And they're like, shut up, Neelix. And and so...
Again, I want to hear that.
Yeah. And then he says, he's like, listen, I got nowhere to go. I got no family. My race is pretty much wiped out. And I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to try to find another ship. That's what got me in this mess to begin with. Like, you guys seem like nice people. Help me out. And then they're like, well, do you have any skills? Like, you would have to work on this ship. And he says, he's like, ah, you know, like, I trained to be a doctor. You know, I didn't quite make it through medical school. I made it to my junior year of medical school. So, like, I'm not, you know, like, I didn't get my degree or anything like that. But I, you know, I got enough knowledge to help out. And then Doc's like, I can totally use a medic. Please, let's get this guy on board.
I will teach him.
But the thing is, like, Tom and the Doc say that at the same time. They're like, you're hired at the same time.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then it's all about him adjusting to the crew and, you know, like figuring out his place on the ship and getting to know everybody. Everybody gets a scene. And towards the end of the episode, he proves his worth where he is Johnny on the spot in sick bay, where he's like tossing hypo sprays at the dock, like super fast. Like, here you go. 10 cc's of whatchamacallit. And, you know, like, you know, they're throwing, you know, tricorders back and forth. It's like Cirque du Soleil in sick bay.
And nice.
It's so he proves his worth and they're attacked by the aliens again. And they're like, okay, oh, you know, like you know, you could totally be useful. And yeah, here you go. And then boom, there's the journey.
To the journey, right?
So it took me a while to find the character, but I found him. He's there.
Cool. I find it interesting you ended up going this route because my character has a similar path and yet I've got a very different direction on how this character is going to come in and be.
Lay it on me.
So I'll just dive right in. I think it needs to be somebody who comes on very early on and comes on as a minor character and stays that way.
Interesting.
Yeah, so maybe it's somebody we meet in season one or maybe early season two, sort of like an Ensign Wildman who we know is there and has some importance. And actually, I really want this character, whoever it is, to be sort of like a vehicle to interact with the other main characters, but okay. Is not in and of himself or herself a main character at all. This is not somebody joining the main cast. This is a very supportive role. We're not going to see this person in every episode, but they're going to have some sort of important function. And of course, I went the medical route immediately myself, even early on, because I thought there are no other blue shirts on this ship who are not trained in the medical field. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. One thought that I had, and I want to know what you think about this, is basically the Bajoran kid in Learning Curve. His name is Jaron, I believe. He wears a blue shirt. Do we know what he did? Because I don't know if we had a whole lot of information on him. And I thought, you know what, if nothing else, if he has any training in the sciences, he's probably got a little more going on than Tommy Boy and could retrain to be a field medic.
Actually, I just looked it up and his name is Garen.
Garen. Okay. It's been a while since I've watched Learning Curve. So thank you. Garen. I saw the name, the spelling in my head, G-E-R-R-O-N. I wasn't sure if it was Garen or Jaron. You just never know with the G's.
But yeah, there's nothing, baby. There's nothing about him. No background. All we know is that he wears a blue shirt, so he's a blank slate.
Yeah, what we know is what we saw in Learning Curve. He was in the Maquis. He's a Bajoran. He's kind of a young guy. He was a little rude, and so that's why he had to go to basic training with Tuvok. And that's really it. So what if this guy, in my mind, he's sort of like a rebel without a cause. He sort of found himself brought into the Maquis after, say, the Bajoran resistance, sort of like the tension, I guess, died down with the Cardassians. It sort of did. You know what I'm saying? He found a fight with the Maquis and said, cool, I'm going to do that. And now that he's basically stuck aboard Voyager, he's really unsure of his purpose because he talks to Chakotay every now and again, and Chakotay is, of course, at peace. The angry warrior is calmed down because he found his beautiful woman warrior. But, the dude's very just much a malcontent and is just, I don't know, just shaking in his boots trying to figure out what in the heck to do. And ultimately, let's say he finds some direction as a brilliant medic. They stumble upon it by accident, and they're like, hey, you're pretty good with that hypo spray. What would you think about doing some training in sickbay? We could use some help there. And since this is early on, you could say, well, what, didn't that Okampan lady take over? Well, we still need help with some shifts. It would be maybe a halftime thing to start. What do you say? Well, okay. And then with him being a minor character, you don't have to have like massive stories devoted to him. But you could see him starting off pretty clumsily. Maybe thinking, oh, he's going to give up and blah, 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 blah. But no, we're going to give him some confidence. He's going to build this. He's going to save a life or two and realize the importance of that. And that's going to give him life some meaning. It's going to shape who he is. It's going to turn him into a much more confident person. Maybe we'll see him even delve into a relationship or two, because that was severely lacking on Voyager, on what should have been a generational ship. So seeing as how he's a younger guy trying to get some romance on, absolutely. Especially as a more confident guy, now he's feeling like getting some companionship along with that. Now that he knows himself, he can reach out and love others. How about that?
He can double date with the Delaney sisters.
You never know. Maybe he's going to date both of the Delaney sisters.
You never know.
You just don't ever know with them Delaney sisters. So, yeah, I thought he might be an interesting candidate, and it might be kind of cool to have somebody sort of running in the background the whole way who is not on the intro credits. And yet, he serves as a fairly important function because he's going to give some of the other characters a little more to chew on, especially somebody like Chakotay as an ex-Maquis. Okay. So, in my mind, that's not a bad thing. That's sort of where I came up with this whole thing. I didn't give him extraordinarily detailed plot points or anything like that. It's just, no, he's going to show up on occasion, sort of like how Joe Carey did for a little while, sort of like how Ensign Wildman did for a little while. But with this guy, we would actually be consistent, darn it, through the whole 7 years. He'd make an appearance at least a few times each season.
Okay, so more than Carey, but less than Garrick.
Yes, it's kind of like a Garrick-type character, where he's there a lot, but I would say taken down a little notch, too. He's not quite as much Garrick.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, that's what I came up with.
Well, I think that's great, and I think that's hysterical that both you and I came up with a male figure in sickbay.
Well, I mean, we saw the need, right?
Yeah.
If there's any place that needs some help, it's in sickbay. And Doc or not, as much of a mad genius as he is, he needs some bodies, especially when Kes is gone. I figure in that particular point in the series, if we have Garen, that's when he really steps up. Mm-hmm. And we maybe get to see him really applying some of this knowledge, where he's not just in the background handing a hypo spray here and there. No, now he's actually got to get down and save some babies.
That's really cool. That's such a good idea. I like that, where we get to see that progression.
Because then we've known this guy for 4 years. We know that he's here, and then now we're putting him to the test, and we get to see him really prove himself. Cool.
Really cool. So there. Really cool. I like that. Yeah. I like it a lot.
So, well, thank you. Thank you. Well, a minor character or a new character or any character, I don't know, whatever we want to do next. That's not the only thing we're talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a glimpse at what the other characters of Trek FM are talking about.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
You know, Pushing Daisies and Hannibal are two very different shows, but they both have a very strong visual look and a very strong storytelling style and a point of view. And one is quirky, and one is darkly quirky, and one is whimsically quirky.
Literary Treks.
She just does such amazing things with these characters, and it just consistently blows me away how invested I am in Chakotay's life decisions. I never ever thought that I would care two whits about what Chakotay does with his life, but I'm really invested here. You know, I really care about the decisions he's making and what's going to become of him in the future.
The 602 Club.
But now by the third one, you've got this really difficult task of, like every sequel has, you've got to be the same but different. And you've got to build on the success of that character that has been so cemented now by two movies. So the little things that started to show up in the first two movies, the quips, the cool clothes, all of this stuff is exponentially blown up onto a much, much bigger scale in this movie.
Saturday Morning Trek.
And all these things just brought in more and more people who thought they were alone, and they found each other, and they made their clubs, and then they made conventions. And that's what the 70s were about, was getting Star Trek back and finding each other.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. You know what to do when it comes to Patreon. Go to patreon.com/trekfm. Consider becoming a monthly subscriber. And you know what? If you already are a subscriber, that's pretty cool. And especially if you want to become an associate producer of this show, because you'd be in good company. We have some amazing associate producers who we have to thank on our show, and they are Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, Bruce Lish, Dante Hopkins, Brian Beliso, and Kay Janeway. That is a long list of people. I think we have more associate producers than any other show.
Because we're awesome.
Duh. Yeah, so thank you guys very much for being associate producers of To the Journey and for supporting Trek FM. And I didn't look at iTunes reviews, so funk that. Well, this was a lot of fun, but we got to wrap this up. I actually need to go off and go to sickbay myself.
Well, I hope that it's something that they can cure with a hypo spray, but you'll have to find out next week. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!
We're not here to talk about Star Trek Discovery, are we?
No. This is a Voyager podcast, believe it or not, and we should start the show. Or we could just call it a day and that's it.
I totally set you up to introduce the topic because you said that you're running the show. Like, you're hosting this week.
Nope. I forgot how to podcast.
Do you want me to lead?
No. I got this. It just... You remember that time when you forgot to say To the Journey?
Oh, I had to...
Yeah, I don't know. I think we were introing the show and I said, To the Journey, and you didn't join in. I'm like, dude, what the f***? And you're like, oh, I forgot to do that. It's like
I kind of want to keep this in the show. Like, I want to let people
tag
know.
Tag it in the end, just like that segment I'm talking about right now. No. This is why we edit, guys. Yeah. We do not do this show live for a reason.